Football fans, welcome back to the Gronkcast, part of the Get More Sports Podcast Network. I'm your host, Chris Gronkowski, and I'm here with my co-host, Super Bowl ring-wearing, Glenn Gronkowski.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 16, and thanks again for tuning in. Today in the Gronkcast, we are going to discuss our bulletproof picks, give you our BetDSI Capper Cup picks of the week, along with our Turkey Day picks for this week's Thanksgiving Day games. And also, we'll discuss the Saints and Lamar Jackson's record paces and if they can maintain what they've displayed so far this year. Finally, we'll be bringing you our favorite segment, the Fan Question of the Week. Before we jump into it, make sure to check out GetMoreSports.com for the latest betting information and up-to-date content on the NFL, along with all other major sports. If you are enjoying our shows, make sure you subscribe and also remember to send questions into our social media profiles to be answered on future shows.
Woo! I guess I'm not as hot as I thought I was.
I was going to say, you can't start it off with all the energy after you lost this week. Lost your hot streak. You had four in a row. You finally lost your bulletproof pick.
Yeah, but I mean, everything I said came true. It came down to a missed field goal at the end. I lost the Titans by a half a point, so I can't be that mad about it. Pretty much everything I said happened, and when a kicker misses, you know, I mean, I guess it's a 45-yarder, but I thought I had it locked up. I wouldn't say that was the worst bulletproof pick to date, thanks to Gordy Gronk coming on the show.
That was definitely, Gordy holds that one down.
I like mentioning this ever since he came on the show. He still isn't invited back, and that's a lifelong ban as well, I think. So
I agree. That was embarrassing what happened when he was on the show with that pick that he had.
But yeah, tough loss for my bulletproof. Still was on point, just missed by a half of a point, I guess. So what does that mean? I don't even know. That means this week, I'm going to lock it in.
Hey, you know why you lost? Coming, I just remember this. Last episode, you said the bulletproof tour bus was going to Washington. And you were right. Washington won. Remember, we brought that up last week. You actually meant to say it was going to the Texans down to Houston, but you said it was going to Washington, and you were right, actually. So,
yep.
Guess you weren't wrong.
Tour bus is leaving Washington this week, though. I don't even know who they're playing, but yeah, I was wrong. Like I said, half of a point. The Texans lost some key players in the game as well. They lost both of their offensive guards during the game, which I think slowed them down as well. And then, like I said, two missed field goals, one of them at the end, could have been an easy cover for me. So
should have been a real easy cover because Alex Smith went down. Actually, Colt McCoy comes into the game and absolutely dominates somehow. I don't know how this keeps happening this year. A new quarterback comes in, their first start, and they just dominate a game. Like you've been saying, Chris, it's really because they don't have any game film on them yet. And then the next week they come out and they just don't do so good. That's because everyone gets a game plan for them. So
yeah, it's actually
should have won that game by a lot because I think Houston was up by 10 or 14 when Alex Smith got hurt. And you were like, oh, this is guaranteed win now. Backup quarterback coming in. He's not going to know the plays. He wasn't paying attention all week. And he goes out there and lights it up, throws two touchdowns, and actually gets them in the game, in a position to win the game.
Yeah, and this seems to be a reoccurring theme. I remember the last 2 years, I kept betting rookie quarterbacks or first-time starters, and they always seem to cover the lines. And so I'm going back to it that it is just hard to play against a quarterback that you haven't seen film on. And I think they'll get a little into this, like you said, on Lamar Jackson as well.
Yeah, let's go into my pick because I finally won one. Your four-streak game hot streak ended, and my four-game cold streak ended as well. Finally got a win. The over of the KC at Rams game. That was a really close game. I was sweating that one out. 63.5. It ended at 103, I think.
Wow.
That was a really close one.
I think they had 63.5 in the first half.
Yeah, it was pretty close. The second half over under was actually 35. I saw that. I couldn't believe that. And then I think they probably put up 50 in the second half too. So that game was absolutely insane. I thought the team that had the ball last was going to win it all, and actually did not happen. They go out there, Patrick Mahomes throws a pick. They actually make a play on defense. And like I said in that game, I called that game. We made an exact prediction on that game, and I said the Rams had a legit defense. They are ranked about middle of the pack in the NFL, around 15th in total defense. where the KC is ranked at the very last, 32nd, 31st, forgot exactly what it was. And it showed the Rams, they went out there. Like I said, this was going to be a defensive game. The defense was going to make the plays that ended up winning this game. And that's exactly what happened. Aaron Donald making plays, making interceptions. That defense scoring 2 touchdowns, 3 picks, 2 fumbles. I mean, that's 5 turnovers, and they still only won by 3. So that just shows how legit KC is as well. So we'll see what happens. That could be a Super Bowl matchup, and that could be even more crazy next time.
I'm still trying to figure out the Capper's Cup. We went head-to-head against each other on that game.
Yeah, I won again, thank you.
You took the Rams, but you took the Rams at 3.5.
That's all. No, 2.5 at the Capper's Cup.
I don't know, because the game got moved. You said the line jumped to 3.5. I took KC. You took the Rams. You're saying you got them at 2.5. I got the Chiefs at 3.5, so I guess we both won.
No, we took it at 2.5. I remember completely. We took it. It's Thursday. The line didn't move yet by then. It was just starting to move.
Oh, 100% did. You even told me.
It doesn't
that
matter.
Once the game moved out of Mexico, the line jumped to 3.5.
I don't even know what to say anymore. Let's jump into this week's picks, because who knows. And I'm going with the same strategy here as I did last week. I am going with the over, because I am terrible at picking the spreads this year so far. I'm going with the over. Falcons at New Orleans. Same strategy as last week. 59.5 points. Once again, NFL games that have opened over under 57.5 points have gone now 12-0. If you factor in last week, it was 11-0. Chiefs game went over. So now it's 12-0 if the over-under spread opens over 57.5 points, and that's exactly what this game did. So it's on pace to go 13-0. I'm taking it. I'm jumping at it again. It worked last week. History's going to prove itself again. The Saints on pace to be the second-highest scoring offense in NFL history. I mean, this game last time they played put up 80 points, 43-37. So that's what I'm going again. I'm going with the bulletproof tour bus on its way down to New Orleans for Thursday night, Thanksgiving Day, and it's coming out with a victory.
Wow. And right after that Thursday game, the bulletproof tour bus is driving up to New York into the Jet Stadium while the Patriots whoop them. And here's why. Patriots -10.5 spread. But I'm not scared, because the Patriots are 8-2 against the spread of their last 10 games when favored by 9 points or more. The Patriots know how to cover. They don't let teams crawl back into it. 10.5 points is nothing. The Patriots are coming off an embarrassing loss, and they're coming off a bye week, which I think is much needed. But they are 9-1 against the spread coming off a loss. Like I said, they're coming off a bye week as well. A lot of the guys were banged up. Josh Gordon should now be good to go. He should know the playbook. He had some extra time to work with Brady over that week period. So I think they're going to all come out on page. Robbie G says he's back in the house. And next, Sam Darnold, as of today, didn't even practice. So we don't even know who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Jets. Last time McCown played against the Bills, it was not pretty. Embarrassing, actually. So I'm taking the Patriots. The tour bus is going to New York. The Patriots will cover the 10.5 spread against the Jets.
Wow. This is going to be a crazy week. Going from New Orleans to New York. That tour bus is putting on a lot of miles this week, but it's coming away with 2 victories. I don't even know if we've had 2 victories on that tour bus so far this year. In 1 week, have we?
Not in 1 week, but the tour bus was definitely on fire for a little bit. We just started the tour bus like 3 weeks ago.
That's true, and it's been going pretty good so far. But I want to go back to that New Orleans offense that I was talking about. So far this year, they put up 377 points through 11 weeks. I mean, if you go back to last year, only 22 teams didn't put up that many points. In the whole entire season, they're only at week 11, and they put up that many points so far. They're on pace for 603 points, which is the second most all-time if they put up that many. would only be trailing the 2013 Broncos, who put up 606 points, so only three more. And also, they scored 40-plus points in six games this season, tied for the most ever in the NFL, once again with the 2013 Broncos. So how do you see this playing out? You think they beat the record? You think they come in second, third? How do you see this playing out here?
That's a tough one to say. I mean, they're so hot right now. But if you look back at some of the earlier games, I mean, they weren't putting up huge numbers early in the season. But, I mean, every team, I think, slows down. You're going to start playing teams again in conference for a second time. Like you mentioned, you're taking the over in this game. I always get scared the second time around because it's always a completely new game with a completely new strategy. So that game's kind of scaring me. I think both teams come out, they play a little better game against each other. But the way these games have been going, it doesn't look like the Saints are slowing down anytime soon. So right now, I don't think they're going to beat the record pace. I don't think they're going to beat the 2013 Broncos, but I think it's going to be close.
I think the scoring continues because I have Drew Brees in fantasy. I get scared because at halftime, they're already up by 40 points, and they sit them half the time because they're just absolutely dominating. This offense is something special. The players they have out there, Kamara, Michael Thomas. I mean, Drew Brees is just, he's killing it right now. He's probably going to be league MVP. I think he deserves it more than Mahomes. I mean, if you watch Mahomes last week, five turnovers, you just can't be having that, especially in those big games like that. That doesn't happen. KC probably goes with a blowout on that Monday night game, but Drew Brees is just amazing right now. They're killing it. I think they break the record. I'm going opposite of you. They're on pace, and they're just lighting up the scoreboard every single week. You can just expect them to put up 40, 50 points a game. So I'm giving it to them. Five games left in the season, and I think they go out there and they break this record. But going back to it, why do you think scoring is so high this year? I know they kind of made the defensive rules. I mean, there's a lot more roughing the passers, defensive pass interference. You think that's why, or you think these offenses just finally got it together and these play callers know how to call these plays finally, or what's going on with that?
Well, I know for certain that scoring was definitely down in the NFL the last couple years, and when the scoring gets down, the game's not as exciting. They always are going to bring in new rules or put points of emphasis on rules that are going to benefit the offense because they want to see these touchdowns. That's what people live for. Fantasy football has built this culture around high-scoring games, getting a lot of points, excitement. So the NFL wants the scoring, and when scoring has been down and the NFL ratings are dropping, they're going to do everything they can to bring the scoring back. So I definitely think that the emphasis this year was to have more scoring. They put rules on it that have now allowed for offenses to perform better. So I definitely think the rules in the NFL, what they've done this year, has definitely helped.
Speaking of scoring, you watch that Lamar Jackson Baltimore Ravens game getting his first start, and he gets 27 carries in his first start as a quarterback. He's not a running back. He's a quarterback. He's out there with 27 rushes, most all time in his very first start, beating the previous record of 22 rushes by a quarterback. This guy is something special when he has the ball in his hand. He can make people miss. He jukes people out of their shoes, puts them on the ground. He's something special, but you think he can continue this? I mean, you're a quarterback. You don't want to be taking 27 rushes, getting hit, putting your body on the line like that. He's definitely got to be smart with what he's doing, making sure he's getting out of bounds, sliding. But, I mean, when you're an NFL quarterback, when you want to go out there and win, and that's your strong point, you got to run the ball, you're going to lower your shoulders on some of those hits because you want to get first downs. You want to show your team that you're not scared. You're supposed to be the leader of this organization. You think this continues? You think he gets injured? You think this is smart? And you think they should put Joe Flacco back in?
Well, he came out there the first drive, he didn't even throw the ball. And so they had, I think, five rushes, and they go down the field, they easily score, and I think that just set the pace for the rest of the game. I don't know if that was necessarily the game plan coming out, but when you have so much success, it's hard for an offensive coordinator to say, hey, let's start throwing the ball. So I think that definitely played into it. I think they'll go back to having him stay in the pocket because everyone in the NFL knows that a quarterback like that will just not last. And they have a great guy to look at and get that advice from with RG3, who's still, you know, sitting on the bench watching. So there's no way that they can continue to do that. His first drive down the field, I actually saw one of the safeties came up and lit him up pretty good. And it seemed like it was an eye-opener for him that, you know, he's not going to be able to juke and get around every guy like he used to in college. This is a whole new level. Guys are going to come in there, and guys are going to lay the wood when they get a chance. And they're going to tee off on him. He is not a big guy. So when a guy can get a defensive player can come in and get a lick on him, they're going to put it on him. So I don't think it's smart to continue to do what they did. I think it helped him win the game, but there's no way he is going to last an NFL season if he's rushing the ball that many times a game.
Yeah, we were just talking about this previously, about having your first game as a quarterback and just absolutely dominating. But once you get that first game under you, now these teams, they all film on you in a real game. It's not the preseason. This is real game scenarios. And these NFL coaches, they know how to make adjustments. They're going to have a guy on Lamar Jackson every single play this next game. The Oakland Raiders, they are 31st in run defense, giving up 142.3 yards per game. So this game, he might get away with it, but in future games against good defenses, they're going to put a spy on him, and they're going to make sure that he can't get out of the pocket and just run around. And if he does, he's going to be taking hits, and they're going to adjust quickly. And I think they should, because, I mean, he only had 19 passes, completing 13 of them for 150 yards, one touchdown. He hasn't shown anything spectacular that he can do throwing the ball yet. So you got to go out there. You got to make sure he's throwing, staying in the pocket, and see what he can do with his arm. Because if he can't do much with his arm, I mean, you're just going to prove yourself. They're going to shut him down if they can't move the ball. Just put a guy on him, make sure he doesn't get out of the pocket. And when he does, make sure it's known that he's supposed to be in the pocket throwing the ball, not running it and putting big hits on him.
That's what happens. If you don't believe me, ask RG3. He knows.
Yeah, you don't want to be taking those big hits at a quarterback position. But speaking of the quarterback position, do you think when Joe Flacco comes back, he's supposed to come back after this week, after this Oakland Raiders week, and Lamar Jackson, like I said, playing a not-so-good rush defense, he's probably going to put up big numbers again. So do you think they stick with him after this game if he does put up those big numbers? Or do you think they go back to Joe Flacco when he is supposed to be healthy that next week? You think they go back to him or keep Lamar Jackson in there?
100%. I say you go back to Joe Flacco for sure. It's proven. I mean, when a quarterback comes in and he can't stay in the pocket, he's not staying in the pocket because he's not getting the reads. He's not getting rid of the ball fast enough, so he's making plays with his legs. I think he sits behind Joe Flacco for the rest of the season, learns more, becomes a better passer in the pocket, and then he'll be ready for next year. But I also think it's a great opportunity to bring Flacco in and then mix Lamar Jackson back into the games and give a whole new look. And we've seen that with the Saints as well, that have been doing it with their backup quarterback. But just a whole new dimension to the game, keeps both quarterbacks fresh and on their toes, and makes defenses have to prepare for two separate quarterbacks and different style offenses. So 100% think you go back to Joe Flacco. I don't think Lamar Jackson is ready. Running that many times a game is just going to end up getting him hurt. He needs to become a better passing quarterback in the pocket first. Let him sit behind Flacco the rest of the year and really learn the game.
Wow, you had some great points there. And I agree 100% with everything you just said. You basically just took the words out of my mouth. So that was pretty impressive, your insight right there, Chris. Good job.
Thank you.
But yeah, Joe Flacco is an elite quarterback. He's won Super Bowls before. He's been around for a while. He knows what he's doing. And to have him there to be a mentor to Lamar Jackson, that's going to pay big dividends in the end when Lamar Jackson does get his chance.
It's time for the BetDSI.com Cappers Cup Picks. The BetDSI.com Cappers Cup is a cool handicapping contest at BetDSI where you select your top five teams to win against the spread. You can sign up for free at BetDSI and compete against us each week. So what are you waiting for? Let's see if you can beat the pros, or at least beat the Gronkowski bros. We're going to start off our Cappers Cup picks this week with our Turkey Day picks. We got some serious games.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
On Thursday. So let's jump into this action.
You want me to start it off? I'll start it off with this one. I am going with the Chicago Bears at, as always, on Thanksgiving, the Detroit Lions. I think Chicago's defense is going to absolutely shut down this Lions offense on Thanksgiving Day. They're going to eat this Thanksgiving Day. They're going to eat lots of turkey, lots of Lions this Thanksgiving, the Bears are. Earlier this season, they played each other. Bears were up 26-0 going into that game. Ended up winning by about 14. But they got to Stafford 6 times in that game. And I think this Bears defense is even better now. Khalil Mack knows the system now. He's in there to make plays. He's making plays every single week, a big-time play that just completely changes the game. And this is only a -3.5 spread. I think they go on the road. They get this one done in the early game on Thanksgiving. They get this one done. What do you think about that one?
The Bears have been looking money. I always love the rematch games as well. So I always like going opposite of the team that won last time. So I guess you're taking my strategy now, and you're running with it, and I like it.
I'm a little scared, though, because Lions are 4-1 in the last 5 years against the spread on Thanksgiving Day. Like I said, they're always at home on Thanksgiving, just a tradition that the NFL has, just like the Dallas Cowboys. Also, Mitch Trubisky is injured. We don't know how serious it is yet, if he'll play. If he's not playing, I'm obviously not taking that line right there. I'm going with Detroit. And also, they're coming off a short week. They played Sunday night, and they're turning around and playing the first game in the morning on Thursday. And I'm still taking it because I'm dangerous like that. I'm taking Chicago, -3.5. This defense steps it up like they've been all year. Mitch Trubisky, if he plays, he's going to do just enough to get by in this one. They come out on top, -3.5.
Woo! Well, I'm staying away from that one for my Capper's Cups. But I'm going to jump on the next two Turkey Day games, starting with the Redskins versus the Cowboys. And here is why. We have a 7.5-point spread in conference game. The Cowboys are 0-7 against the spread in their last 7 games on Thanksgiving. I mean, that's some serious action right there that you cannot ignore. On top of that, the Cowboys are 1-9 against the spread when favored by 7 or more, which, again, just insane. The Redskins last week, I bet against them playing the Texans. They had a lot of guys injured. Hopefully they'll be back. It looks like Trent Williams might be back. Quentin Dunbar might be back. A lot of guys might come back for this Redskins team. So they're getting a lot of decent players back. On top of that, the last time I watched Colt McCoy play was against the Cowboys. I think it was actually his last win. So he knows how to play these Cowboys. He knows how to play in Texas. And he's ready to go.
You just watched him on Sunday, so that's a lie.
Yeah, he looked great.
You said the last time you watched him was the Cowboys.
No, last time he won.
Oh, okay.
The last time I watched him start a game was against the Cowboys, and he whooped them in Dallas. But I think it's tough to cover the Redskins. I think it's tough to cover against a good defensive team like the Redskins. So 7.5 points is a lot to cover. All that other action, all the other history with the Cowboys not being able to cover, I'm taking the Redskins in this game. And next, the Falcons versus the Saints. I'm riding the Saints until they stop covering. The Saints let up 37 points against the Falcons last time they played. And I think, like I was talking about, whole different story the second time around. Teams come out with different game plans. I think the Saints have gotten so much better since the beginning of the year. Also, the Saints are 5-2. Against the spread, against the Falcons in the last 7 home games. So history repeats itself. They are also teams favored by more than 13 on a short week, like this Thursday night game, are 5-0 against the spread. I'm taking the Saints. I'm going to be eating turkey all day long, baby. 2-0 Capper's Cup right there.
That's right. So for Thanksgiving Day, I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving, by the way. Eat a lot of turkey, lots of dessert, have fun, rest up, watch some football. It's going to be a great Thanksgiving, as it always is. We got Bears -3.5, Redskins +7.5, and Saints -13.5. We're going to finish off our Capper Cup picks I'll start it off with my second pick in the Capper Cups following the Bears game. I'm going with the Bills plus 2.5 against the Jaguars at home. This Jaguars team now 3-7, and I think they're just giving up on this season, which they thought was going to be a Super Bowl season again. They're 3-7 now. I think these players are just giving up hope. They're last in the AFC South, and after claiming they were the best team, they've had a huge wake-up call. Jaguars offense is embarrassing this year, and the Bills defense is pretty legit, and I think they're going to shut them down like every other team has. Bills coming off a bye week. Josh Allen is back in the lineup, and I think they come out there, they win this one, as their offense has shown signs of getting better. Last week, they put up lots, not last week, before their bye week, they put up lots of points. Like I said, their defense is making plays all year long. I think they go out there, they win this one at home and cover the plus 2.5 spread. My third pick, I'm going with the Giants plus 6.5. This game is always interesting to watch, always a close game, except the last time they played, Giants got blown out. But they're getting better, won their last two games, traveled all the way to San Fran, won that one on the road. And it's basically a home game for them. This is the Eagles-Giants matchup where it doesn't really matter what side you're on. You're going to be at that game. It's going to be loud no matter what side you're on. Even though the Eagles are a better team this year, I think Giants fans show up like they always do. I think they just play good this year. They've been doing better. They finally put their offense together. Eli's playing good again. He's not missing as many reads. Odell Beckham's doing good. Barkley's putting up huge numbers. I think this offense goes out there. They finally put it together. They're winning games now. I think this one's closer than it was last time, and I think the Giants cover plus 6.5. My fourth pick, I went with the Panthers, minus 3.5 against the Seahawks at home. Panthers are 5-0 at home this year and 4-1 against the spread in those five games. Even more impressive, they are 10-0 in their last 10 home games going back to last year and 8-2 against the spread in that same time period. And they have the Seahawks traveling all the way across the country, which is never easy on a player's mind and body. Only thing that scares me in this one, Russell Wilson's never lost in Charlotte. But I think that streak ends this week, and Carolina gets it done at home, minus 3.5 versus the Seahawks. My final pick, Bengals, minus 2.5 against the Cleveland Browns at home. Bengals now have former head coach Hugh Jackson on the sideline with them, and I think this helps them game plan for the Browns this week. Browns have yet to win on the road this year, and with the Bengals only needing to cover by 2.5, I think they get it done at home and cover the spread against the Browns.
Wow, those were some good picks, and I like them. But let's jump into mine. I already talked about three of the games. Patriots were the lock of the week. So last two, I'm going with the Bucs minus 3.5 against the 49ers. The 49ers are not good at traveling east. They are 1-7-1 against the spread in the last nine games playing on the East Coast. They're now on their third quarterback, who we all know Glenn Love talked about, had this amazing game against Oakland, his first game starting, but now the game film's out there. He comes out the next week, doesn't look nearly as good. I mean, struggling the next week out there. Tampa ranks third in total yards in the NFL. I think they easily cover this spread of minus 3.5 at home. They beat the 49ers, who are struggling on offense right now. And my last pick, I'm taking the Titans, getting 5.5 points against the Texans. The Titans are coming off an embarrassing loss, which I love taking games after embarrassing losses. I think that the spreads are always a little too high, and people just overreact from one bad game. I mean, if this was the game where they came off against the Patriots, I can't see this spread being 5.5 points. But the Titans always grind it out. They keep games close. The Texans, as I watched them last week play against the Redskins, they lost both their starting offensive guards. They actually had a tackle playing guard for them, which is going to hurt, which is going to really be tough for them against a good Titans defense. If Mariota plays and the Titans are still missing their two starting guards, I am taking the Titans all day and the points plus 5.5.
Yeah! It's time for our favorite segment, the Fan Question of the Week, where we answer your questions about football, betting, our family, partying, or anything at all. Just hit us up on social media and let us know what's on your mind. Submit your questions on our Twitter, Instagram, or getmoresports.com. And if your question is chosen, you'll get sent some free Gronkcast swag and a killer Gronkcast t-shirt. We love getting questions from fans, and no topic is off limits. So bring the best you've got.
And this week's Fan Question of the Week is coming from @slump_busters. And the question is, what is it like to have a bye week in the NFL?
Yeah, this is a great question, because bye week in the NFL is the best week of the year when you're a player. You finally get to relax a little bit. I think you can only have 3 practices maybe in those 7 days. And you get, I think you have to have a guaranteed 4 days off at least. So you get 3 days of practice, 4 days off, and you get to get your body back under. Usually the practices are more chill. You're not in pads. And really it's just going over mistakes that you've had in the past couple of games, and it's awesome. I mean, it's more relaxed. You're not getting yelled at every single play, and you finally get to, you really get to do whatever you want. You can fly wherever you want. Most people go home, they just relax, get their feet under them, get all those bruises out, or you stay at the facility and you get some training in. You get with the trainers, you're using cold tubs, hot tubs, doing all that. But it's just a great time in the NFL, because it's a lot different in college, where it's a bye week and you're out there like it's a game week. At least where I played, it was. You're out there every single day in pad still. 5 practices that week, maybe 6. You might practice on Saturday since you don't have a game, and you're just getting your body beat up still. So NFL, they've done it right. They treat their players right. It's great. Best week of the whole NFL season. And basically it starts your second half of the season, because you've been there since August, so you had all of training camp for a month. You've played probably 7-8 games now. That's another month and a half, 2 months. So you're 3 months in, and you get this bye week, and you just feel amazing. You're so glad. It's much needed every time. It's been a grind so far. And you come out of that bye week, you're feeling good. It's the second half of the season, and all the exciting stuff is here now. You're not in training camp where it's 95 degrees and you're battling every single day. You got the second half of the season coming up. Playoffs coming up, Super Bowl coming up. You're ready to go now. Your body's feeling good. So I thought bye weeks were the best week. The only bad thing about bye weeks is you don't get paid as a player. That's the only bad thing. But most of the time, these players, they're doing all right financially. So it's not a big deal. But bye weeks, like I said, absolutely love them in the NFL.
Yeah, they're not too bad. They let you catch up. And a lot of times coaches will actually let you get away for a couple of days. And I think this is, was it Odell Beckham who got in trouble for that? Heading down to Mexico during his bye week?
No, that was to, I think that was during the playoff game you're thinking of. Playoffs. They went to Miami, they're on the boat, and they've gone, I think it was 2-16 since before the last 2 games that they just won. I think I saw stats similar to that. So yeah, make sure you just don't go to a boat and party with your teammates. It's probably not a good idea, especially before the playoffs.
Yeah, but yeah, you definitely, if you don't do that and you actually take the time to, go hang out with your family. Something like this week, you know, with the Patriots off during a holiday, it's awesome, because you do get a chance to celebrate Thanksgiving with your family. And if you want to travel, you do have a couple days to get away and actually go leave town and hang out with your family and friends. So bye weeks are great. It's kind of just a stop from the absolute insanity of the grind of the NFL season. So I always love a good bye week. Really helps you rejuvenate your mind and your body and come back strong for the rest of the season.
That's true. Players absolutely love bye weeks. Unfortunately, fans hate them. They don't get to party rock on a Sunday for their team, watch them win or lose, and yell at every single play that happens. So hopefully your team doesn't have a bye this week on Thanksgiving, so you get to enjoy it with family and have a good time cheering for your team. Once again, happy Thanksgiving to everybody. But I think that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the Grindcast, part of the Get More Sports Podcast Network. Thanks again to everyone for joining us today. Don't forget to check out getmoresports.com to catch up on past episodes and to also get the most up-to-date sports betting information. Thanks again for tuning into the Grindcast, and remember to subscribe to get weekly reminders of when our podcast is posted, and also ask us questions on Twitter and Instagram to be featured on future shows. That's it for this episode. We'll see you next week, and happy Thanksgiving.
The Grindcast is brought to you by GetMoreSports.com and iShaker. So visit GetMoreSports.com after the show for more NFL insights, analysis, picks, and podcasts from us. Also, check out the links below for more information on iShaker, the double wall, vacuum insulated, sweat free, kitchen grade stainless steel shaker bottle as seen on ABC Shark Tank. With over 30 products, there's something perfect for you. We also want to thank BetDSI.com for sponsoring the show. BetDSI is the world's top sports book and has been online for more than 20 years. It's free to sign up. And if you want to start betting with real cash, BetDSI accepts credit card deposits. Remember, it's now legal in the USA, so go make some picks. Follow the links on our podcast page and use promo code GRONK69 when signing up at BetDSI.com. This promo code gives you 100% bonus on your deposit up to the first $500. So head to BetDSI.com and make a few bets on our picks or pick your own. And remember to use code GRONK69 when you sign up.